Is there such a thing as privacy in the metaverse? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. One of the tech buzzwords in this new year, and a bit left over from the old, is metaverse. And even though lots of tech companies are promising we'll soon have an immersive experience where you can stream your favorite show, host a virtual work meeting, or maybe even buy a virtual house, there is still a ways to go before we get there. And one of the issues to be sorted out first, hopefully, is how user privacy works in a world built on augmented and virtual reality. Jessica Lee is a partner at the law firm Loeb & Loeb and advises companies on user privacy. She says companies are still sorting this out, but she feels like they have some time.
When we talk about the metaverse and when companies are talking about the metaverse, this is something that they're envisioning will be multiple years out. The idea is that you could have potentially various metaverse environments, but that you can move interoperably between them. So right now you might get on your phone and you open one app and you're in that app experience and you go and open another app. You know, you could move seamlessly throughout all of those different apps or different metaverse environments once we get to this new version of it, which again is several years down the line.
Several years down the line, what do you think is in between now and then?
When we're talking about the metaverse, it's really built heavily on a combination of VR, AR, and mixed reality. And over the past 2 years, I think we've seen some stops and starts with innovation in all three of those spaces. One key hiccup has been, you know, getting a headset and a device that people actually want to use and put on and it provides a good experience. So I think we'll see innovations in the devices. And I think we'll start to see more developments of the pieces of the metaverse. And that will include things like the evolution of blockchain and engaging in transactions across the blockchain, NFTs. You know, Web3 isn't the same thing as the metaverse, but they'll work side by side. And so as we get to this decentralized version of the web, the metaverse will kind of grow into that as well. So I expect to see these different iterations between now and whatever the future state of metaverse looks like.
What kind of privacy issues do you think are unique to this new and emerging space?
I think we'll see the, you know, quote, big data problems get even bigger, and the ability to track people will get even more enhanced. Because if I give myself as an example, there are probably four devices I use every day. I have two email addresses, a work email and a personal email. And then when I'm on social media, I have different handles because I, you know, I signed on at different times. So there's a fragmentation of my identity. We might see the ability to unify all of that into one person. And so while you can do some amount of tracking, and obviously companies know a lot about us and our activities, there'll be an enhanced ability really to understand, you know, your movements, your location, your interest, and then layer on top of that access to biometric information through the headsets. So one example of this might be, you know, you get that message on Netflix, are you still watching? Well, Netflix won't have to ask you that because you'll have the headset on and it can scan your retina and know where your eyes are pointed. So it'll know that you're watching. So
this if you fell asleep.
Right, exactly. So it's really enhancing the access to information that we have today.
I guess how valuable is that data, especially that biometric data from a user's time in the metaverse or some version of it?
Well, it's going to be extremely valuable. I mean, it won't be valuable for every single purpose, but for companies who really want to know who their audience is, who their consumer is, so they can either create products that are more specific so that they can market those products in a more targeted fashion so that they can develop technologies that speak to user preferences. All of that is helpful. The more information we know about what people do and how they engage and what they're interested in, the more we're able to sort of develop products that speak more specifically to that or create experiences that that speak more to specifically to users' needs. So I think that information will become very valuable.
Very valuable to companies, but I mean, is there going to be any change in how much consumers are able to control their monetarily valuable information?
You know, if you talk to people in the privacy space, there's a lot of concern about the ability to track in the metaverse, particularly when you layer on the concept of a virtual workspace and blurring the lines between work and personal life. But on the individual side, there's opportunity because once you can create this seamless identity, there's a concept that you could have more ownership and control over your identity and who you allow to give access to your information. You know, in the past couple of years, we've seen companies that have popped up trying to help consumers monetize their data. And I'll say I'm not personally a fan of that concept because I think on an individual level, an individual's data isn't that valuable. Data is valuable at scale. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there'll be more opportunity to explore innovation around monetization. But I think what will be more important will that will be the opportunity for users to have more control about who they allow to access information about themselves.
One of the ways that people have talked about deploying the metaverse is that companies may use it as a virtual office or a remote workplace. Does that bring any additional privacy considerations beyond sort of using it for gaming or working out or other recreational uses?
Oh, absolutely. Because if we think about the information we're able to track, we really will want to understand if we're in a virtual workplace, what information will our employer have about us, right? Like I might, I'm off camera now, I might roll my eyes and my employer might not see that. But if that information can be tracked through the device I have, if they have access to that information, and that's kind of like a silly example, but it just opens the door to potentially your employers getting more information about your activities. And I think particularly as we've been mostly remote for the last 2 years, there's been a concern about how much employers are tracking their employees at home when they're working remotely. I think those concerns will continue to scale.
So then how do companies and consumers prepare for the privacy concerns in these new virtual spaces?
Well, the metaverse is being developed at a time where there's a big spotlight on privacy. And I think that will be a good thing because I think we've seen the errors of our ways, hopefully. Now with a spotlight on privacy, and this is a spotlight that's coming from, you know, the consumers themselves, it's coming from regulators, it's coming from other businesses who will want to, you know, the metaverse, you'll have a host of the metaverse, but, you know, brands will want to partner and they want to make sure they're sending their consumers into safe spaces. So I think there'll be pressure from all parties to make sure that the metaverse is safe from a privacy perspective. So I expect that we will see rules around what data can be used, how much can be kept, what'll be shared, issues around data hygiene, right? So you might need to collect biometric information to engage in the space or to provide an experience, but you don't necessarily need to keep that information in all cases or use it for other purposes. And so I think we'll start to see more rules around data hygiene as the metaverse starts to develop.
Jessica Lee is a partner at the law firm Loeb & Loeb. And now for some related links. For a healthy dose of skepticism about just how close we are to a functional metaverse, the Washington Post published an interesting piece of analysis last week. The title, In 2021, Tech Talked Up the Metaverse. One problem, it doesn't exist. We'll have a link to that article on our website, marketplacetech.org. And Harvard Business Review is out with a guide on how brands can use the metaverse. Virtual art galleries and fashion shows might be the future, but the author points out other attempts at the metaverse, like Second Life, have been around for a while without taking over the economy. Finally, back on the privacy front, Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen gave an interview to the Associated Press in November where she warned that the version of the metaverse being pushed by Facebook's parent company Meta will be addictive and rob people of even more of their personal information, while at the same time giving Meta even more of a monopoly when it comes to our lives online. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.